Well, glory. I've been hearing that a few people around here are getting jobs. Praise the Lord. He's gotten a job. We've been praying for people to get jobs, and we know that God has blessed some. And I know online there's a couple people, and we want to thank God because we do pray for you. We pray for God to direct you to get that place. And sometimes it's for temporary. Maybe it's a temporary time. But, you know, we need to all be thinking about where God is guiding us. Amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord. It is, I want to start today. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Christmas story today. Hallelujah. How many are excited about Christmas? Now, we'll talk about it next week, too. So don't worry. You won't miss it if you're here. We probably won't finish today. But I want to share certain facts about the Christmas story. There are some that we all know, and I know we shared some last year, but I've been looking at the Christmas story and studying not just the Christmas story from the Bible, but looking at what the Bible says and some things that we have found from history. How many know that history is a teacher as well? Do you know there was a great man, and his name was Josephus, and he was one of the kind of reporters of the day back in Jesus' time and during that era. And he has written much about different things, and other writers as well that have written down certain things that were happening during that time. And we all know that we have the story of Jesus' birth. Why? Because there was a young woman named Mary. And the Bible says she kept these things in her heart and pondered them. When you really study those words out, she guarded those things, and she meticulously kept the order of what took place in her life, and she kept it recorded in her heart so that when she was interviewed by Matthew and Luke and even John, the writers of the Bible, they were inspired of God, but I'm sure Mary had something to do with it. How many think that Mary probably knew? She knew what happened. She hadn't forgotten. She kept them in her heart. She guarded them, and she kept a chronological record right here on the inside of her, and she knew exactly what took place. Well, let's turn to the book of Luke today. Now, mostly we get our story here from the book of Luke and also the book of Matthew. And then, of course, John is very important as well because he says Jesus was something, wasn't he? He was the Word of God and several other things. But I keep turning back too far. All right. Luke chapter 2. I want us to start there, and I'm going to share a few things, not everything today, but we'll get started, and we'll see maybe some things that you did know, and maybe there's things you already knew. Maybe you'll find something today that you hadn't heard before. But how many know, even when we've heard it 100 times, the Christmas story is always fresh, isn't it? It's always new when we hear it again. We can always see something we didn't see before. And that is my prayer this morning, that as we look into the Word of God, we're going to see some things, some truths that I want us to bring out. Let's begin in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went out to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." Okay, and they're there to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Okay, let's stop there for a minute and take a look at what's taking place. First, we see that, of course, we know Mary was supernaturally, back in the first chapter of Luke, we know that it was a supernatural act. And I'm going to talk about Mary actually second, but she was found, as we remember, to be pregnant by what? The angel of the Lord who came upon her in the Spirit of God, supernaturally, because Mary was a virgin girl. She was a good girl. Amen. And should be. She was probably between 12 and 14 years old, because you're allowed to be espoused, as it says here, you know, to Joseph. She was here, and so she was espoused or engaged, we would say today, betrothed or engaged to Joseph. Now, in their day, the time of the engagement wasn't a time where they're just together, but they were actually taking that year, and they would go many times into the, you know, Mary may have spent quite a bit of time with Joseph's mother and father even, and Joseph would also be learning how to be a husband, how to be a wife. And they would take that whole year, and this is a year of preparation time. It was not taken lightly in these days. They didn't just say, well, we're going to get married. No, they were betrothed, or they were engaged. They were at a time where they were learning. They were pure, they were staying holy, but they were also learning how they're going to be a wife. How would you like that? Don't you think that's a good idea? Maybe if we took it a little more serious today, we would have some better marriages. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, both the men and the women, we all need to learn and continue to grow. But here we are. And so they were betrothed, and we know that the angel of the Lord had come to Joseph. Why? How many think it would be a problem when you're engaged and you're Joseph and you know we have had no relations, but Mary is found to be pregnant? How many ladies think that might be an issue for you? You're found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Oh, God came to you, did he? You know, we all know that there are no more supernatural births, but sometimes the plan and the purpose of God upon your life is different than you may have expected. And I know I'm talking about Mary first here now, but I think this is an important part here, because they went down to a place. Joseph is taking Mary. They're going on a journey. And so here you have a woman. The Bible says, great with child. What does that mean? She's about ready to give birth. Amen. She's about ready to have that baby. And so they were journeying from Galilee, from the area, down to Bethlehem. It's usually 2 or 3 days maybe, but being with child, how many know they had probably stopped a few more times? Amen. Mary's riding on the donkey, and she's pregnant. And so, you know, everybody knows that pregnant women have to go to the bathroom all the time. And so they're going along, and they're taking their time. And, of course, Joseph, he was a just, peaceful, loving, quiet man. He wasn't going to, you know, he took her because the angel of the Lord came to him. Amen. He was thinking about getting rid of her. In those days, it was so serious. You're engaged. You're betrothed. It's just, you know, this is going through. You have to get a divorce. They're already set. Hey, this is set in stone. They're going through. And he says, you know, technically, according to the Jewish law, Joseph could have said, well, stone her. Obviously, she's been unfaithful. But how many know when God says, amen, He had to be a just man as well. He had to be a godly man. When the angel spoke, he didn't say, oh, ha, 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 ha. No, no, he didn't laugh about it. He said, yes, Lord, I'll do that too. So both Mary and Joseph, we see their hearts turned to the Lord already. Mary, and we'll talk a little bit more about her in a minute, but here they are now on this journey. And so it probably took them a little longer than most of the people to get there. They say it could have taken up to 10 days for them to travel on this journey. That means they've got to set up camp at night, cook their meal, get everything packed up, and get back on the donkey and move along. Amen. And so their pace was a little bit slower. But here's all the world. You got to think about this. Now, this isn't saying everybody in the whole world, but in the Roman world, they were wondering because they said, hey, we want people to come. And it says text in the Bible, but really what they were looking is they were looking to take a census. How many people really live in Rome? And so in their day, they didn't have the internet where you can put your information in and everybody, you know, is happy. No, no, no. The whole world began to move. So there was a lot of movement taking place. Everyone's packing up. Everyone's traveling. They're all on the road. They're all moving to their hometown. They're traveling there for this great census. And perhaps there was taxes as well. I'm sure there were. Imposed. Well, how many's in your house? Oh, we thought there was only three. I didn't realize you had 10 children. You know, but they were figuring out how many people were in the Roman Empire, and they were coming, and things were taking place. And of course, Joseph and Mary arrive in a place called Bethlehem because Joseph was of the lineage of David. And later on, we'll see that Mary was also of the lineage of David. And that's very important because God had prophesied that. And yes, Joseph was his earthly father, his, you know, we would say a stepfather, right? He was the one that God entrusted to care for him and to take care of him. But here they come to a place called Bethlehem. How many know what Bethlehem means? Does anybody know? I'm going to tell you. Praise the Lord. The word Bethlehem means house of bread. House of bread. How many think that house of bread was important? We know that, yes, the house of bread. Let's turn to John for a minute, the sixth chapter. I'm going to read a few verses here. And I want us to see, what did Jesus say about himself? See, this is a place called the house of bread, or the place that Jesus would be born. I want to look at John chapter 6. There's several times here, and in this passage, really, he's trying to answer some of their questions of who he really is, and they're not really getting it. Hallelujah. But verse 33, Jesus says this. It says, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Hallelujah. Jesus being born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, or the house of food for the world. Amen. Verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. And he that believes on me shall never thirst. How many understand Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem, where God began to stir up the whole world, and the whole world got on the move to put Jesus to be born in the city of Bethlehem because they were of what? The lineage of David, born in a place exactly where God had said, and if you need to get moving to the place that God has for you, if he has to move the whole world, he's going to get you where he needs you to be. Can you believe Him today? Can you realize God begin to arouse them, begin to move them up? Hallelujah. Verse 38 says, "For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but of Him that sent me." Why? Because He was that bread. Verse 48 says, "I am that bread of life," Jesus said. Hallelujah. It was important. He was the bread of life, born in this city called the House of Bread, Bethlehem. Hallelujah. John, verse 51, we see again, He said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Are you beginning to see the picture this morning? The importance of going and traveling to the city of Bethlehem at just the right time when Mary should be delivered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We see some things that take place here. So they go to Bethlehem, and the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brings forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes because they laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there was no room for them in the inn, not because they didn't have enough money. See, Joseph was not a poor man. The Bible says he was a carpenter. And when you really look that word up, it says in the Greek, technon, T-E-C-K-N-O-N, I believe. Technon, in other words, technology. He was a skilled craftsman. It was not like a poor little carpenter shop. Joseph was very skilled in his work, and he would make the top-of-the-line furniture. He would make the best, the kind that goes into the king's palace. He was not some uneducated or unskilled man. God does not choose anyone that has not been prepared beforehand. He tests us, doesn't He? He tries us, and He expects us. And Joseph had the character of God in him, and he had learned skill in his life. He was not some poor carpenter. He was rather quite wealthy and probably could have bought the inn, but there, you know, perhaps. But they didn't have room in the inn because there were so many people there, and they were late because Mary is very pregnant. And they're walking, and it probably took them a little longer. And they get there, and there is no place left. And so they send them. They said, "Well, we have a place out back here that is a barn." And most of us would say, "Well, you know, God came." The Bible said that He would be born, right? Of that place in the city of David in Bethlehem. Hallelujah. This is good news today. But in the ancient Bethlehem, we would discover there that Jesus was not born in a wooden barn. If you go to Bethlehem today, you can look around, and they have all these caves which they would use as barns for the animal. Many of the shepherds would come, and they would put their animals in these caves. Why? To protect them, to keep them safe, to keep them out of danger. When they were not in the fields, they came and they were there. And also in the area here, there were not there. Remember when He comes, and let's read a little bit further here, because we see that first of all He's born, and they've wrapped Him in swaddling clothes and laid Him in a manger. So here we don't really. He was not born in a wooden barn, but in a cave. Probably not a silent night. Probably other travelers were in the cave. Sorry, ladies, but it's kind of embarrassing, huh? Probably a lot of animals in there making all kinds of noise. It wasn't something, you know, it wasn't a fun, silent night. It was quite a wild, loud night. And I'm sure Mary probably screamed when she had Jesus. I'm sorry, ladies, but it probably happened. It probably hurt her a little bit there, so hallelujah. And it was not just a silent night, and it was a cave. And in the cave, they say there is a manger. Now, this is not a wooden manger that you build, but they would carve out of the stone a manger. And to this day, if you go to the city in Jerusalem, if you go to the Church of the Nativity in Jerusalem there and so forth, they have in Bethlehem, sorry. But the Church of the Nativity is still in existence today and has been one of the largest churches, one of the longest lasting churches of the world. And you can go, even though over the years there has been some renovation. I mean, there was quite a renovation around 500, around the year 500. They did quite an extensive renovation on it. But yet you can take the stairs that goes down, and on the floor there they have the star where Jesus was born. And most likely it is quite accurate. I mean, it's very likely that this is exactly where Jesus was born. And they have this church built right over it. It's there. You can go there today. Take a look at it. Now, Constantine's mother had a lot to do also around 100 AD or so. She did a lot of work to preserve many of the places that were considered holy, and this is one of those places. And so they have a pretty good record that most likely this is exactly where Jesus was born. And there's still the manger there, which of course, if it was wooden, I'm sure would not have lasted 2,000 years or more. And so you can see that there. And so it's very interesting how we kind of have a different Western picture, you know. So, well, she laid him in the manger, and, you know, and I'm sure all the cows were quiet, and we have our little manger scene, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that's not exactly what it looked like on that night. And now here we go on, and we see there were some shepherds. Verse 8 says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Now here we have the shepherds who are watching the flock by night. Now these shepherds, you may not realize, but they were not just any shepherds. These were the shepherds who would watch over the lambs that were going to be sacrificed in the temple. So these shepherds are watching over these precious little lambs because they do not want any blemish, right? Remember, what does the lamb have to have? No blemish. Nothing wrong. Has to be perfect. We want to make sure he stays that way. They're watching over them. And when God said, he said, the light shone to them, to these shepherds. And this specifically was how they would know. How are we going to know? They didn't even ask. God told them. He said, you'll know who this lamb is, for you'll find him in what? The manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, what were swaddling clothes? Swaddling clothes were the strips of cloth that these shepherds would use to wrap the lambs that were going to be used, because they did not want their legs to get hurt. They didn't want their bodies to be damaged. They want them to be perfect, right? So that they could be used as a sacrifice. And they would lay the lamb in that manger and wrap their legs. And here is Jesus, the one who has come, the Lamb of God, who would be the ultimate sacrifice for you and I, the bread of life, the Lamb of God, the one that would take away the sin of the world. And the angels begin to say, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. It was a holy night. It was a very holy night. It was the time that God has said, I have sent the Savior. Come and worship him. Come and bow before him. And the shepherds gladly found him. They were looking, I'm sure, for the Messiah, and they realized this is the King of Glory. The Lord who has come, God has sent the Messiah. He has been born this night in the city of David, the house of bread. Hallelujah. The living bread, the one that came to bring life to the world. As John had said, he was the Lamb of God, ready to be slain, prepared as a lamb in the very place that the lambs were being raised and taken care of and protected, that there was no blemishes found on them. And the same kind of cloths were wrapped around him. And it was declaring that he shall be the Lamb of God. Oh my goodness, there's so much when we really see some of these things in the story that sometimes aren't always told. Amen. Now, you can hear a lot of these things. I'm not ashamed of it. I learn a lot of these truths from things that are online. Rick Renner's taught a lot of them. He wrote a book about, you know, other things about Christmas and some of the history, and there's other things that I've looked into. What was taking place? Because sometimes we see the story, but do we really realize the full meanings for our life? Amen? We do. We say, oh, he's the Lamb of God. He's this and that. But there are other hidden truths that are here within the Word of God. And the beauty of this story of the shepherds who would watch the lambs, the very ones came to worship him, to see the Lamb of God without blemish, without sin. That finally, someone, a man, was born without sin, who was able to take away the sin of the world, to be the sacrifice for all mankind. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness, folks. I get excited here. I know. But that's because I see in a different light. What did it look like on that holy night? Was it quiet? Or was there people all about? People were still coming into town. People had been moving on the roads. Yes, they found their lodging. It's crowded. They can't find any more. So Joseph and Mary come to the back of the cave and find them a quiet place, you know, or some kind of place where she can lay down and be comforted to some degree. And they realize, here comes the baby. Oh, boy. It wasn't exactly a... How many know sometimes you get a little uncomfortable in our walk with God. Amen. Sometimes things aren't exactly as we had anticipated. We would think Jesus would be born in the palace and have all the finest help and the wonderful slaves and the servants that would care for him. But God said, no, I've entrusted him to a handmaiden of the Lord, Mary, who would be his mother. Let's look back just a little bit now, and I want to look here at the chapter 1 here. And I believe it's verse 30, you see. Well, let's look at verse 26. I want to read a few verses here about Mary and where we see some things about her as well. Now, we talked a little bit about Joseph and his family, and he was raised, of course, to follow after God. His mother and dad are listed in, or his parents are listed in Matthew. And let me find that. Sorry. I need to turn over here. Get my other note. Praise the Lord. So he was born there in that cave, and we're moving forward, and we see that the whole family of Mary, being called by God, Mary, over here in verse 26 of chapter 1, sorry, chapter 1, verse 26. It says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So here we back up a little bit from our story that is taking place, and we see why they're going into Bethlehem, because here we find that Mary is supernaturally impregnated by God. And she says, Be it unto me according to your word. And here we have Mary in a city, a small city of Nazareth. Now, Nazareth, there was not a lot known about Nazareth. It was just a small city off the beaten path. And you had to kind of go there on purpose. You know, you didn't just accidentally run off the main street and end up in Nazareth. You had to take the, you know, it's when you got lost, you know, and it's one of them little hick towns there that you found, you know. Oh, hey, there's a town here. I didn't know that. You know, here's Nazareth. And matter of fact, you remember when Jesus called Nathaniel, you know. He says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? John 1:46, you know, he says, can anything good come there? But what was Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah 11, verse 1? That Jesus was there, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, so we see Nazareth is a city off the beaten path, a small, obscure city, which is not much known about, but I got news for you. How many knows the name Nazareth means shoot or branch? And here we read in Isaiah 11, verse 1, that he shall come out of the root, out of the branch of Jesse, the seed of David. Amen. And so many scholars agree that Nazareth was so called because of the branch of Jesse's family, a clan of the Davidic dynasty had relocated and moved to Nazareth about the year 100 BC. And here we can remember what the angel had said to Mary. Verse 32, I believe. We just read that. He said, he shall be great and shall be called Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Hallelujah. And here is Mary called out of Nazareth, where she is of the branch of David. And that is important because she's his mother. And yeah, Joseph was of the lineage of David, but so was Mary. Hallelujah. She was in that clan. So Joseph and Mary were both descendants of David. And so Mary, of course, I mean, because she's the one that's giving the birth, Joseph's not his actual father, is he? God is his father, but he was still from the lineage of David. And now here we see Mary, who also had to be from the lineage of David. So we see a couple of things here. We see Bethlehem, which is what, the house of bread, where they had to go to Joseph's hometown and Jesus was born. And we see that he is that bread of life. And we realize that he was born to be the bread of life for all men. Amen. He's the one that we partake of. And when we receive him, the forgiveness of the sin, he's born not in so much a barn, but in the cave and in the manger and wrapped in the swaddling clothes of the very shepherds that would watch over the lambs and the sheep that would be slaughtered in the temple. And he was wrapped in those very clothes, signifying that he is blameless. He is pure. He is the one that will be the Lamb of God. And we can see also here in Jesus, you know, he had quite a family. A lot of people think, well, it was just Jesus and his family. But when we look into the Word of God, in Matthew 13, 53, it talks about Jesus' brothers, that he had at least four brothers and at least two sisters. And so that was at least another six children that Mary and Joseph had together. Now, some people don't realize that, but they were also called into the ministry. How many know many times God calls families to work with him? Amen. And the whole family began to move in, because we know that James was the firstborn after Jesus. He was the same one that wrote the book of James in the Bible. And that's Jesus' brother. And also Judas, or Jude, was an apostle and wrote the book of Jude. Now he had a couple other brothers who also were involved in the ministry. And his two sisters were known to have married ministers of the gospel. Their whole family was called by God. Amen. And many of the things that take place, and next week we'll look at some more things, but we see that they came from different cities. Mary, very important. She was also of the line, of the lineage of David, from Nazareth, the place called what? The root, or the branch of Jesse, which is where Jesus would be born from. And we see Joseph of the line and lineage of David from Bethlehem, where they had to travel to. And it was a time when they were having the census in the world, and the shepherds who were watching, and the angel came. The Lamb of God has been born to take away what? The sin of the world. Glory to God. Anybody learn anything today? I'm learning something. Praise God. I'm learning some things about the story of Jesus and how he was born. And it's important. See, some people think that Mary was just an unmarried girl. No, virgin means you never had sex with anybody. Never, ever. She was pure. She held herself pure. And she knew God. And see, Mary's parents had raised her. It is told in history that they were older and they were believing God, just as Elizabeth and Zacharias had been trusting God and older in years, and they gave birth, her other sister, amen, on Mary's side, where they gave birth to John, which was Jesus' cousin, who was John the Baptist. And we see him in their family line. And also we see where Mary, they said Mary went to a school. Her parents actually put her in school in Jerusalem, a special school for girls where they were taught the Word of God. They specialize. It'd be like today if you put them in a Christian school where God is stressed and the things of God were taught to her. And her parents spoke to her many times, said, listen, you are a handmaiden of the Lord. We have prayed. We have agreed to dedicate you to God, your mother and I. And we want you to realize you are special. You are God's child. You belong to him for his service. And so Mary already had that in her heart. And so when the angel came, she's going, Lord, how can this be? What is this you're telling me that I'm so favored of you? Twice in five verses. And they came, and she said, yes, you've been chosen of the Lord. But Mary's heart had already been being prepared by her parents many years before. From the time she was a child, how many think it's important that we train up those children, amen, and we speak of the things of God, and we let them know God has a call on your life. And I want anybody in here, you say, well, I don't know, my parents didn't really teach me, but the call of God is without repentance. He doesn't take it away. So if you're trying to run from him, run back to him, amen? Run back and embrace that call, whatever it is that he has said to you, and then say, Lord, be it unto me according to your Word, what you have said, Lord, I want to do. Hallelujah, Jesus. We can be that way. Amen. So we have several things. The handmaiden of the Lord, favored of God, being pure. She had kept herself pure. She was of the seed, the root, the branch of Jesse. She was engaged, and they had made the public announcement that they would be married. And so this was a time, and they took it, of course, very seriously, and they're moving forward to that time. And so it was not just a time of total peace for them, but there was some things that were uncomfortable, amen? And sometimes in our journey with God, we're going to face some things that are uncomfortable, but was bringing about God's perfect will in the earth. So sometimes when we feel uncomfortable and things may not be exactly as we want them to be around us, let's look up and say, Father, not my will, amen, but your will be done. I'm trusting you, Lord, that you're directing me. I'm trusting you that you're bringing to pass your purpose for me, that you're getting me into the right place at the right time where I will begin to see your purpose come to pass and you and I will walk as one. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for some of the truths that we were able to see and that we can apply to our life and realize who you really are, Lord, in the way that you have directed and brought forth your Son, who we celebrate today, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the one that is holy, the one that was pure. We needed a redeemer. We needed a savior. And he has come, and his name is Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us. Oh, thank you, Lord. We give you glory and we give you praise today, Lord. And as we think about these things in our daily life, help us to listen for your voice, Lord. And whatever you want us to do, that we will say, be it unto me, Lord, according to your word. Whether we're Joseph who sees the dream in the night and says, okay, Lord, I'll obey you with fear and trembling. I'll take Mary, Lord. I trust you, Lord. Oh, or Mary who has to say, Lord, I trust you. And has to talk to Joseph, and I'm sure they had some pretty good talks. Because it didn't seem too great. But how many know God's purpose and God's plan came to pass? And it's going to come to pass in your life. You can trust him with your future. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you for that today. And we give you the glory. And we give you the praise, Lord. And we come to worship you this Christmas season. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.